Warning, right winger coming through on the Lars Larson Show.
Part of what we want to do was to make sure we heard directly from young people who oftentimes are growing up in really tough situations. We've heard stories of some of these young men being stopped and put on the ground by police for no reason.
Stopped and put on the ground for no reason. That was President Barack Obama today talking about something that I think is categorically false. But then again, coming from President Obama, what else do you expect? When his lips are moving, he's telling you something that isn't true. Young men put on the ground for no reason. You know, if that's actually happened somewhere, do you know what I think is incumbent on the young man or young woman who was put on the ground, say in handcuffs or in custody for a period of time, and there was no reason to do it? A complaint to the public affairs department of the local police agency would be appropriate. If you truly have somebody who is taken into custody for no reason whatsoever, what is far more common is that somebody matched a description, somebody was in an unusual set of circumstances, and the police stopped him for a period of time. And of course, the conclusion from some people in some communities is going to be, you stopped me because I'm black. No, we stopped you because you matched a suspect description or because of your behavior. And we thought we saw a problem with that. At the end of the day, if we let you go, feel free to file a complaint. Complaints actually work because you'll find that departments take complaints very seriously. John Lott joins me now, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, Fox News contributor, and the author of Dumbing Down the Courts, How Politics Keep the Smartest Judges Off the Bench. John, good to have you back.
Great to talk to you, Lars.
So tell me this, should the city of Baltimore, I always hear from my friends in Maryland, like Seton Motley and Dan Bongino, how, how tough it is to own a firearm in that state and be able to protect yourself. Do you think there's an argument for maybe letting the citizens of Baltimore and other big cities be able to arm themselves so that they can be protected against the small percentage of the population that are criminals?
You'd think if people didn't realize that before, they'd realize what you're saying is true now. I mean, here we have a situation where just a week ago, the mayor ordered the police to stand down. She told the police to go and give space to the criminals to go and destroy things. And she refused on multiple occasions to return phone calls from the governor trying to get permission to bring in the National Guard. People were left on their own. The police were ordered specifically not to go and protect them. And what if the police are being ordered not to protect you, what option do people have? In Maryland, it costs over $300 to go and license and register a handgun. Well, who do you think is primarily stopped from getting a gun? It's the people who live in these very areas where the riots were occurring. They're the ones who are stopped from, at least law-abiding citizens, the ones who are willing to obey the rules and try to pay the fees for licensing and registration of their guns. They're the ones who are being disarmed. Do we really want to disarm the most law-abiding good citizens in these areas and not have the police protect them either?
Nope. And by the way, John, the number that came out from Larry Hogan, the governor of Maryland today, 200 businesses in Baltimore destroyed last week, and most of them owned by minority members of the community. You know, 200 businesses gone, and I assume that some of them employed more than one person. It wasn't just the owner, but they had employees. That means we may be looking at 500-600 people who are out looking for jobs today because the place they worked burned down or was destroyed or looted by folks in the community or from outside the community. That's a lousy thing to happen to a community. If that community had had law-abiding citizens who were armed, who were protecting their stores, do you think that that equation might be a little different today?
Well, you'd hope so. I assume the number of employees that you're talking about is an underestimate. I mean, you have.
Oh, yeah, it's far under. I just want to be conservative about the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, even if you just have two shifts a day for people working at a place, you're going to end up getting more people working at those places, and you know, if they're open 6 days a week or whatever. So look, I mean, it's really tragic. These businesses aren't going to open up, and it's not just the businesses that were burnt down that are going to have problems. The insurance premiums and the costs for other businesses operating are going to go up dramatically. You know, it's just going to be a horrible impact on the jobs. And, you know, it's the law-abiding good citizens who didn't riot, who didn't go and steal the TV sets or whatever from the stores that were being ransacked. They're the ones who are double losers in all this. And as you say, they also can't even defend themselves.
I also wonder, John, I know that some of those businesses, I've seen interviews with their owners who say, yeah, we have insurance. Well, two reactions to that. Not all those businesses will have insurance. And even those that do may have a deductible. If your deductible is $5,000 or $10,000, and you still had pretty good insurance past that, you may be, as an owner, saying, well, gosh, I'd love to keep this young man or woman on my crew, but the $5,000 or $10,000 I'm going to have to lay out as my deductible to collect my insurance to rebuild my shop, that's the salary I was going to pay to somebody for the next 6 months. So I'm going to have to tell them I can't afford you right now, and now you're without a job. And even those that were fully insured with a low deductible, let's say they're 6 weeks into rebuilding or putting their shop back together or finding a new location. Can you imagine the average person has the capability to go 6 weeks without a paycheck? Most people do not.
Sure. Well, I mean, the deductibles could be $25,000 or $50,000.
Yep.
And even if they have the money, even if they get most of the money towards opening the store, you have to ask, will they do that? Given the risks that are there, given the fact that other businesses surely won't open up. I mean, if you're in a group of businesses, storefronts someplace, and half the stores aren't going to open up, you know, the foot traffic that you're going to have is going to be reduced. You have to ask whether it pays, plus your insurance premiums, as I said, are going to be higher too. So even if it paid for you to be in business before, it's not obvious that it's going to be make sense for you to reinvest all that money now.
John Lott is with me. He's the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. John, I'd like your observation on this. And this is something I know, usually as head of Crime Prevention Research Center, you're looking at not micro data, but macro data. You're looking at trends and things like that. I would love to know the young man whose gun went off today that the police chased down. I would love to know, having caught him apparently illegally carrying a gun, there's no indication he had a permit or anything else. I don't know if he has a criminal background or anything else like that. I'd love to know whether or not they throw the book at him or seek to throw the book at him, or whether they let him go on basically the minimum. Because you'd think with Baltimore in this situation that they'd say, we catch you carrying a gun, we're going to go after you hammer and tong. We're going to go after you with everything we've got. And I think that if they actually started to really strictly enforce the laws that are already on the books against illegal carry and illegal use of a gun, that they'd actually start to change the equation there. Take the guns away from the bad guys and then give them to the good guys. Do you think it'd be possible to follow that one up and find out what actually happens to that case?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, when you had the rioters, a very large portion of those rioters were simply let go by the police. The state's attorney decided not to press charges against the individuals, even when they had video, apparently, of them going and destroying stores and what have you. So, you know, at least the record over the last week is not boding well for having a consistent approach for punishing people who do harm to others or threaten others.
Keep up the good work, John. We appreciate what you do.
All right. Good.
John Lott with the Crime Prevention Research Center, Fox News contributor, his latest book, Dumbing Down the Courts. Now, imagine this. If you're a law-abiding citizen of Baltimore or any other city where this happens, what would it be like if somebody put together a web page showing some of the looters who were looting those stores and then questioning out loud, do you have this person on your payroll? Are you going to still write a check to somebody who's on video right here robbing a store in your community, whether they got attention from the state's attorney or not? I'll be back in just a moment. More of your calls at 866-439-5277.